Our first scripture lesson today is found in the prophet Isaiah, chapter 9, verses 1 through 4. Listen now for God's word to you in this reading of scripture. But there will be no gloom for those who were in anguish. In the former time, he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the later time, he will make glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with the joy at the harvest, as people exult when dividing plunder. For the yoke of their burden and the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, for the word within us. Thanks be to God.
Thank you. Before reading the scripture, I want to make just a brief apology. My voice is not its usual this morning. I'm battling just a little bit of a cold as I had to fist bump some of you coming in the door. So if I squeak and croak a little bit this morning, please excuse me. This morning our scripture reading comes from Gospel of Matthew, our gospel reading. And we continue a theme that we started last week, which is the theme of calling. Last week, we looked at the calling stories of disciples in the Gospel of John. And this week, we hear a similar but different story from the Gospel of Matthew. So let us turn our attention to this story that is somewhat familiar to most of us, and listen for God's word to us in these words. Now, when Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and made his home in Capernaum by the lake, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what had been spoken through the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. Land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali, on the road by the sea across the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And for those who sat in the region and shadow of death, the light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to proclaim, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went from there, he saw two brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets, and he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Jesus went through Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness among the people. So his fame spread throughout all Syria, and they brought to him all the sick, those who were afflicted with various diseases and pains, demoniacs, epileptics, and paralytics, and he cured them. And great crowds followed him from Galilee, the Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and from beyond the Jordan. For the Word in creation, for the Word in Scripture, and for the Word within us. Thanks be to God. They were all fishermen. Their fathers were fishermen. Their fathers' fathers were fishermen. Life had already been determined for them. They really have no choice. Their lives take place in a small circle, a family, synagogue, village, and of course, fishing. Their existence is probably very routine, structured by family needs, holy days, festivals, and above all, the seasons and the weather. Ask any one of them where they would be and what they would be doing in 5 or 10 years, and they would probably say, well, right here, doing what I'm doing, of course. Ask them why, and they would say with certainty, well, because that's the way it is. Now, this is not to suggest that Peter and Andrew and James and John live boring lives. Quite the contrary. Their lives were filled with activity. After all, they had family life in a village filled with the diversity and the personality and the opinion of human relationship. The kind of diversity that has always been in human relationships. They were fishermen. They were very active. They were building boats and mending nets, taking fish to market, and second-guessing the weather. It's not that their lives were boring. It's just they lived the same way that people in other villages have lived for centuries. Their world, their life, as active and as satisfying as it may be, is a small world. It's the only world they know. Do you think that Peter or Andrew, James or John ever in their wildest dreams imagined that they would one day be disciples to the Messiah of Israel? Do you think they ever imagined that they would be known as founders of a religious movement that was different from their native Judaism? Do you think that they would have ever imagined that their names would be associated with one of the world's greatest religions? Do you think they ever imagined that? Imagine, if you will, life. Life is a house filled with many rooms. We could even take Jesus' cue on this. At one time he says, the kingdom is filled with many rooms. But imagine life has many rooms, and we only live in one of these rooms. And this room is dark. But we don't know it's dark because that's the only thing we've ever known. It seems natural to us to live in the dark because we have learned from others as we have grown up how to feel our way about and to know who is who and what is what. It's quite natural for us to live in this dark room. Occasionally we may stumble over other people because they are out of place, or maybe we're out of place. But several generations have lived in this room, and yes, there has been change. Things have been moved around occasionally. Arguments have occurred between the people in the room about that change. Some were all for it, and some did not want it at all. So you see, life in this dark room is not dull as we bump into each other in our darkness. And on the whole, we're satisfied. We're comfortable. And occasionally, somebody in the room comes up with a story, a tale. They start talking about that there is something outside of our room. They say there are other rooms, that there are actually people living in other rooms beside ours. But that story is just swept aside as nonsense. Some people say they have been to these other rooms, and they come back with these stories telling us that there are many other rooms that are dark, just like ours, and these people think their room is the only room. But there's one thing common about these different stories, and that is that every story has an element of light. Somewhere in these rooms, there has been a light, and that light has illuminated a doorway. And their stories tell us that there are doorways connecting all of these rooms, that people can come and go from one room to another simply because they have seen light through that doorway. But many people scoff at these stories. They say, "What in the world are you talking about? There's no doorway. What is light anyway? This is crazy. What are you talking about?" Because some people just can't see that light. However, those who do see it see possibilities they have never dreamt of. They see other rooms. They see other people. And some dare to walk through those doorways. Others have seen the light, but they don't go because they're fearful. And they even chide those who do, and some even persecute others who come from other rooms. They choose the comfort and familiarity of that which they already know, their own darkness, with which they are quite comfortable. Peter, Andrew, James, and John are on the shoreline preparing their nets, just as they have done their whole lives long. "Follow me," Jesus says. And in an instant, their world is filled with possibility and hope. The prophet Isaiah puts it this way. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. Jesus says, I have come as a light into the world so that everyone who follows me should not remain in the darkness. And those who follow Jesus discover what this light means. Light coming into darkness shows us that our understanding of truth is not the only understanding. Light coming into darkness shows us new ways. Light coming into darkness reveals the kingdom of God not as a place we go after we die, or not even a place at all, but a journey. A journey that we call life, that begins with an invitation. Follow me. When light comes into darkness, the story tells us that captives are set free, sick are healed, lame walk, blind see, and good news is proclaimed. Lives are transformed when light comes into darkness. Jesus, the story tells us, left Nazareth. He left Nazareth after John the Baptist had been arrested. John the Baptist was a mentor to Jesus, the story tells us. Jesus went to John to be baptized. Jesus heard John preach the gospel, the good news of repentance, that the kingdom of God is here. And suddenly, Jesus' mentor is gone. And Jesus walks through a door. He leaves the world that he knows. He leaves Nazareth and he goes to Galilee. And when he does, he brings light with him to those whom he meets. He brings hope. He brings possibility. He brings dreams of freedom and justice and love. And in the same way, the gospel of Jesus Christ comes into our worlds of routine, habit, procedure, comfort, custom, tradition, and even orthodoxy, and brings a new way of seeing, and shows us a doorway, a threshold. The light of Christ is in the world. This is what the gospel tells us. And Jesus says, the kingdom is here. If we would but only see it. Follow me, Jesus says. And the only question we have is, do we dare follow? Amen. We don't have to engage in grand heroic actions to participate in the process of change. Small acts, when multiplied by millions of people, can transform the world. Quote comes from Howard Zinn, but it's applicable to you and me. As we hear this story of Jesus coming to these simple fishermen, we wonder in today's world, well, what can I do when I look at all that's going on? What can I do? One small step. That's all Jesus ever asked. Isn't that curious? All Jesus ever asks is, follow me. And when we do, we begin to discover the light in our darkness, even realizing that we were in the dark and never knew it. Follow me, one step at a time. It's all he ever asked. Amen.